Come unto whom?
Unto whom?
Nu.
Then.
Twat.
Then you.
Anyam.
Other.
Ramaye.
I shall allow to enjoy.
He.
Certainly.
Arati gong.
Without knowledge of sex enjoyment.
Akovedam.
Therefore almost foolish.
Asamparaya.
Without knowledge of the next life.
Abhimukam.
Looking forward.
Ashvastanavidham.
One who does not know what is happening next. Pashum,
like animals.
Translation. How can I expect to unite with others who are neither conversant about sex nor capable of knowing how to enjoy life while living or after death? Such foolish persons are like animals because they do not know the process of sense enjoyment in this life and after death. So you can repeat. How can I expect to unite with others?
How can I expect to unite with others?
Who are neither conversant about sex.
Who are neither conversant about sex.
Nor capable of knowing.
How to enjoy life.
While living or after death.
Such foolish persons.
Are like animals.
Because they do not know.
The process of sense enjoyment.
In this life and after death.
Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Since there are 8,400,000 species of life, there are also many different living conditions. In the lower grades of life, in plant and tree life, there is no system for sexual intercourse. In the upper grades, in the life of birds and bees, there is sex. But the insects and animals do not know how to actually enjoy sex life. In the human form of life, however, there is full knowledge of how to enjoy sex. Indeed, there are many so-called philosophers who give directions on how to enjoy sex life. There is even a science called Kama Shastra, which is the science of sex. In human life, there are also such divisions as Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. There is no sex life except in the Grahastha or householder ashram. The Brahmacharya is not allowed any sex, the Vanaprastha voluntarily refrains from sex, and the Sannyasi is completely renounced. The Karmis do not practice Brahmacharya, Vanaprastha, or sannyasa life, for they are very much interested in grahastha life. In other words, a human being is very much maturely inclined. Indeed, all living entities are maturely inclined. They prefer grahastha life because there is a concession for sex. The Karmis think the other statuses of life are worse than animal life, for animals also have sex, whereas the brahmachari, vanaprastha, and sannyasi completely give up sex. The Karmis, therefore, abhor these orders of spiritual life. So,
Kam nutva nanyam ramaye yarate gyam akovidam samparaya vimukam ashvastana vidam pashum.
Omagana Tumirandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So there's several points I wanted to touch on here. The bewilderment that sexual attraction causes, and then also why is it that Prabhupada describes that human beings are better able to enjoy, and then ultimately how to overcome this particular attraction. Okay, so there's three topics. First is, I'd like to discuss like why Prabhupada and the Vedas describe that the human beings actually are much better at enjoying. They have full knowledge. The reason is not so much the act itself, because many animals have fully developed pleasure systems in their body or pain systems, just like it's been discovered that a fish can experience as much pain as a human being would if they were put in a similar situation. You know, sometimes people say, well, it's just a fish or it's just a water vegetable. So, but the nervous system, the pain nervous system, is actually part of the primitive, what's called a reptilian. That's really scary, isn't it? Everybody has a reptilian brain? You all have reptilian brains? No. No, you don't? You don't have a reptilian brain. You all have a reptilian brain. And that's, and then above that is all the rest of the garbage. So anyway, so there's a reptilian brain, and that's, anyway, so that there's the pain sensation. So, you know, the animals, they can experience, even if they don't have the developed sense of reasoning, they can experience as much pain and just as much pleasure from their different interactions. You know, whether it's the birds and the bees and the cows. I mean, usually, the cows also go crazy over sex desire, the cows and the bulls. You know, the bulls, they actually jump fences, you know, knock down whatever is in their way just to get to the cows. So the reason, because I was trying to understand this, how the human beings have more enjoyment, because they actually have philosophy, can think about it a lot more, whereas with the animals, it's just like impulsive. You know, when they feel the impulse, they go for it. But the human beings, they write books of poetry about it. They movies about it. You know, so many love stories. You see, practically every young girl, she's buying all these different books about, you know, the love stories, isn't it? You ever seen that? They buy these love stories. And there's so much, like, anticipation. Of course, in Krishna's Leela, with his intimate associates, the gopis, there's also the similar things. You know, there's anticipation, there's separation. But you don't see the animals experiencing, you know, you don't see a bull saying, you know, I'm feeling separation from my beloved cow. You know, it's really not like that. Or the bulls, you know, the bull just doesn't remember the cow until the bull is right there, basically. So in other words, there's a lot going on in the mind, so there's a lot more tendency for being immersed in this type of enjoyment, because it's not just momentary as it is with the animals. Okay, so that's the first thing I wanted to discuss. Second thing is the bewildering nature of this. So, of course, there's many verses that deal with this. Pumsastriya mituni bhavametam tayor to ready vante ho atok kshetra sutapta vichar janashi mohong yamaham mameti. I mean, that's just one of the ones that the sannyasis always throw out. That you pumsastriya, you put the man and the woman together. Striya actually means she who increases the enjoyment. So there's pumsastriya mituni bhavametam. They engage in this particular relationship. And then the knot in the heart becomes very tight. What is Hridayagrantha? What is that knot? You know, that knot is actually, it's just like if your beads get knotted. You ever have your beads get knotted? You're chanting, you're going to get knotted. It's just like, it's very frustrating. It keeps you from executing your proper duty. So it's just like, it just clogs your mind. If something gets knotted, it just keeps your mind from focusing on Krishna. It's like your mind focuses on everything else. Atogriha, etc. Sutapta vitar. On your home, your job, the et ceteras, you know, the children, the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. It's janashim ohayam. Aham. Mameti, and one thinks it's mine. And in other words, aham mameti means like it's mine. I and mine, the two divisions of false ego. So this is mine, this is my family, this is, even it extends, of course, to the country, nationality. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island. You know that song? No, you don't know that song. Anyway, so there's nationalism. So it just creates a sense of mind possession. So that's one verse from the Bhagavatam. I can go on
chanting many verses from the Bhagavatam about this particular subject matter, but it's better to tell stories that illustrate the point, how people, even, you know, high-class people, higher class than ourselves, get bewildered. Just one or two stories. So one story is the story of Pururava, which you've all heard before. How Pururava, anyway, it's interesting how he was born, but I won't tell that story. So Pururava became very attracted to this lady, Urvashi. Urvashi, of course, is perhaps the most beautiful of all the apsaras. I think she is, because she came from Krishna, so she must be the most beautiful, right? I don't think there's any apsara. That Urvashi came because there was Narayan Rishi meditating, and Indra, he tried to dissuade Narayan Rishi from meditating. He thought Narayan Rishi was just an ordinary personality, so he brought some of his apsaras down, you know, the dancing girls. Like they have, what is that place in New York where they have the girls all dance? What? The Rockettes. He brought the Rockettes down. And they were dancing and there was spring and everything. And Narayan Rishi wasn't really interested. And Cupid was also there. And so Urvashi was created by Narayan Rishi. He said, you know, I'm not interested in any of these. But, you know, if you like this sort of stuff, you can have one. So he created it. From his own energy, her, not it. And then Urvashi was sent down for Pururava. I mean, there's a reason she was cursed also, because she disturbed even Mitra and Varuna. They were disturbed by seeing her. That's how bewildering it is. I mean, two great personalities, like just seeing her, and they just, you know, just very disturbed just by seeing her. Just see how strong this attraction is between men and women in this world. So anyway, so she came down and basically she had a prenuptial agreement with Pururava. The agreement was that she would never want to see him, basically 3 points. She would not want to see him naked. If she ever saw him naked, she would leave. If he ever gave her food that wasn't cooked in ghee, she would leave. And if he didn't protect her pet lambs. Demigods and apsaras don't have pet dogs. They have pet lambs. I'm not saying that you should get a pet lamb, but it's higher class than a dog. So at least the lambs could produce wool, something practical, but nobody makes sweaters out of dog's hair. Maybe they do. I'm not aware of it. So what happened is that they had this agreement, and then Indra, he was sort of missing Urvashi. Oh, because Indra also gets very attached and bewildered by this lust. And, you know, he even goes after sages' wives, like Ahalya, go to Maharishi's wife and gets cursed and loses his masculinity as a result. So Indra sent his associates to bring Urvashi back, and the way they brought Urvashi back was they stole the lamb in the middle of the night. Gandharva stole the lamb in the middle of the night. And when the lamb was stolen, Urvashi and Pururva were lying in bed. And she said, go get my lamb. He said, what are you, just a eunuch? And after he heard those insulting words from his beloved, he didn't even think to put his clothes on. And just said, oh. You know, because this is lust, you know. You know, you just lose your brains. And he ran out there in the fields after the lamb, completely stark raving naked. And he was a king, too. It's not just like some hippie at a rainbow festival. I mean, which is normal, you know. Have you ever been to any of these, like, festivals, rainbow festivals or Woodstock? Mother Krishna Priya was at Woodstock. She'll tell you that was the natural dress there. So he ran out, and then the Gandharvas, they had a bright spotlight in their helicopter, and they just shone it on Pururva, and it was bright as the day, and there he was in his birthday suit. And his wife saw him, and she said, "That's it. I'm out of here." Okay. But he was so bewildered that he became completely depressed. I mean, this is a great king. You know, you're not talking about just an ordinary Joe here. This is a great Kshatriya king. He became completely depressed, and he was just basically wandering all over the world looking for her. I mean, his whole life, gave up his kingly duties. His whole life is just like wandering over the world. Forget about it. I mean, you contrast that with Lord Ram. Of course, this is a pastime. Lord Ram's activities are a pastime. Lord Ram was so attached to Sita Devi, but this is spiritual. Whereas for the safety and the welfare of his kingdom, he had Sita Devi go away. I mean, because that's the Raj Dharma. You understand? You have to understand the context of these particular discussions. There's Raj Dharma, I mean, the Dharma of a king, the duty of a king. And when one takes a position like king, one has to sacrifice his own or her own happiness, you know, whether it's material happiness or whatever happiness. Just like even in ISKCON, one takes a position, a responsibility. One sometimes has to sacrifice their own happiness, nectar, for the greater good. Of course, one gets greater happiness because of that. One has to have faith in that. So we started running all over the world, finally found her, and she agreed like one day a year. And the rest of the year, you know, he just also neglected his duties. He was just like counting the days. And then that didn't satisfy him. So she advised him, "You do some worship and then you'll get me." And then he got an imitation, Urvasi. He wasn't satisfied with that. Finally, he did a whole fire sacrifice. Because he was doing this for such a long period of time, the change of the yugas happened. Between the Satya Yuga, where you just meditate on your beloved, perverted reflection, we just meditate on your lover, and the Treta Yuga, where you do some sacrifice. So he started to do some sacrifice where she and he were two pieces of wood, and then eventually he went back to wherever she was, and anyway, they had some relationship. He didn't even consider that she was not exactly the best candidate for a wife, because the apsaras, they don't have to remain faithful to one particular individual. They actually have relationships with many different demigods. That's the nature of apsara. They're called the heavenly prostitutes. Because that may be an oxymoron. Anyway, so that's one instance of, you know, a great personality just losing it. Another instance is Yayati. Right? Yayati, King Yayati. This is such an interesting story that there were these two friends, Devyani and Sarmishta. They were playing, and Devyani was the daughter of Shukracharya, and Sarmishta was the daughter of the king, Bishop Parva. Anyway, they were playing, and by accident, Devyani put on the clothes of her friend, Sarmishta. There was a big argument, and eventually, because Sarmishta was a Kshatriya girl, she threw Devyani into a well, naked, without her clothes. And then this king, who's wandering around, Yayati, he comes and he looks in the well and he sees this naked girl in the well. And then he gives her his hand, he pulls her out of the well. She says, "You have to marry me." He's a little reluctant because she's Brahmin, and it's not really proper for a Brahmin girl to marry a Kshatriya man. That's called pratiloma. Usually a Brahmin girl would marry a Brahmin man, a Kshatriya girl would marry a Kshatriya man, and sometimes you can have a lower class girl marry a higher class man. That happens sometimes. Just like who was that I was thinking of? Just like Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj was actually the half brother of Vasudev, but from a Vaishya wife instead of a Kshatriya wife of the father. You understand? So it happens sometimes. Okay. So anyway, get back to the story. So Yayati, he becomes completely enamored with her, And her father gives her some agreement to make with her husband that you should not have any relationship with Sarmishta, because Sarmishta followed Devyani, her friend, into the house of Yayati, because that was the way to diffuse the whole and the anger of Shukracharya. He was angry at Sarmishta and her father, Vishvaparva. So, anyway, so they were all in the house together, and Yayati was not able to keep himself from having a relationship with Sarmishta. Okay. So, as soon as Devyani found that out, she went to her father, Shukracharya, and Shukracharya cursed Yayati with old age. So there was Shukracharya there was Yayati with old age, unable to enjoy himself. And his wife was also upset with that because, nobody wants to be married to an old husband unless he has a lot of money. if he has money, you can tolerate the wrinkles. So she married. So Yayati was there, an old man, but he really wanted to enjoy this sex life. So what he did is he just said to Shukracharya, you got to do something. Devyani also agreed, you got to do something, he said. And so Shukracharya said, all right, you can exchange your old age with one of your son's youth. He can have your old age, and you can have his youth. And so Yati thought, I have obedient sons. He went to his sons. First son he went to was Yadu. This also answers your question as of yesterday about getting detached by enjoying the material world. So it's actually interesting because there's both sides. Both opinions are given by Srila Prabhupada at different times. So Yadu said, no, because I want to go through this whole, youthhood and marriage and everything like that and get detached as soon as possible. Otherwise, I'm going to get your old age and then later on get back my youth and then have to go through the whole thing. So Yadu made that because the point is one doesn't get detached just by enjoying. However, if one is a little philosophical, one will see that the experiences one has had while attempting to enjoy are not bringing one happiness. Then one will take up Krishna consciousness. But the act of enjoying is like pouring pouring gasoline on a fire. It doesn't extinguish the fire. However, when one attempts to enjoy, if one examines it with one's intelligence, one will come to a logical conclusion. And then, if he's really pious, he will actually give up that attempt to enjoy. So, Yadu said that. And also, Yadu was the predecessor for the whole Yadu dynasty. So he didn't want to delay Krishna's appearance. That's another thing that said in the Prabhupada says in the purport, that Krishna was going to, he knew Krishna was going to appear in his dynasty, so if he had to take this old age from his father, that would just delay it by another 1,000 years, because his father wanted to enjoy for 1,000, which we'll hear in a second. So his father went to 3 other sons, and the 3 other sons said, no way, Dad. We don't want an old age. They didn't have a bona fide reason. Yadu had a bona fide reason. But they said, we just want to enjoy. You, old man, what do we have to do with it? They were not faithful. But the third son, the fourth son, his name was Puru. He said, yes, of course. You didn't even have to ask me because I'm your first class servant. The first class servant does what the master wants without being asked. Second class does what the master wants after being asked. Third class does what the master wants after being asked, but in a bad mood. And the 10th class doesn't do what the master wants. So at least we should be second class. That's pretty good. Most of us are third or 10th. So, we just do what we're supposed to do with a bad mood. A face that could scares the daylights out of someone. So, you see that, someone's doing service. It's just like, I'd rather see ghosts at midnight than see someone in that mood. So Puru, he's a first class servant, so he exchanged his youth with his father, And his father just went, Haribol, you know, now I can enjoy. And Devyani went, Haribol. And so for 1,000 years, they were enjoying this relationship, the sexual relationship. 1,000 years. After a while, it sort of hit Yayati. You know, it takes a long time, you know. That's interesting. You know, after 1,000 years, you would think, you know, after 2 minutes. But anyway, so after 1,000 years, Yayati said, actually, it's not working. I'm not becoming happy. Or you like that song, What Can't Get No Satisfaction. So so he's like, it's not working. And so in order to convince his wife, he just couldn't tell his wife that, because she would have been, you know, women will be insulted if you tell them, you're not really bringing me happiness, lady. So he didn't want to discourage. So instead, like a good preacher, he told a metaphorical story. He said, let me tell you some story about some goats here. You know, which is not really threatening. If someone tells you an animal story, it's not really threatening. Just like there was this one movie, it was a Chicken Run. It showed chickens escaping. And you ever see, anyone see that movie? Chickens escaping. You know, it somehow or other would strike you that chickens are living entities. But if you actually say that you're in Maya for eating chickens, or not Maya, but, you know, you're going to hell, people won't accept that. This is just religious. Just religious, you know, believing in absolutes. I watched one video, when was it, yesterday, about someone on this TED thing, and they said that the problem is that people believe in absolutes. There's no absolutes. So anyway, then he said to his wife, he says, let me tell you a story about some goats. So there was a he-goat and a she-goat. She-goat got caught in a well. And the he-goat, he dug the she-goat out of the well with his little horns on his head. And then she was so attracted. And the she-goat and the he-goat got married. And they were very happy, but the he-goat had a relationship with another goat. You know, it's really interesting he used that example, because basically when one has... I know there's a sannyasa class, but this is the verse. I can't help it. But that consciousness is like goat consciousness. Like Chanaka Pandit says, what is there a goat will not eat? Anyway, he says a lot of other things I'm not going to mention right now. But it's just, you know, goats. Yuck. Now, of course, they drink goat milk, which they consider wonderful. So, milk should be from cows, mother goat. Anyway, so he dug out, and they fell in love, and he had a relationship with another goat, and she went to her master, you know, because goats usually have a master. She complained. The master cut off his testicles, and this poor goat, they were complaining, and then somehow or other was rejoined, and they can enjoy life. So, By that story, metaphorical story, she understood, hey, we're just like goats, huh? And she became a great devotee of the Lord. It has a happy ending. Happy ending. I mean, she realized, and he realized, not that the, to answer your question, it's not that the enjoyment made them renounced, but the realization that they could not get enjoyment and they were acting just like animals, it was an impetus for them to take up the process of renunciation. So that we should make that clear. One doesn't become renounced by getting fried out in the material world. However, by getting fried out in the material world, it is an impetus to take up the process of renunciation. So then finally, as I mentioned, what is the process of renunciation from this world? I mean, one time some devotee published a book. It was The Joy of No Sex, you know, just like there was one book, The Joy of Sex. So he published a book, The Joy of No Sex, and he was giving different methods by which he thought you could become renounced from this, such as, you know, taking a cold bath before you go to sleep at night, you know, hanging upside down like a bat. I mean, I don't remember all the things because I didn't really read all of it. I just glanced at it. And those things don't work. I mean, of course, there are some material adjustments you can make, such as overeating. You know, don't do it because there's this vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udarupashta vegam. You understand? When you eat too much, then the belly gets full, puts pressure on other organs, or you get a lot of protein in the body, and you usually get all wired up. I remember I had one of my godbrothers, he would take a whole giant milk container of chickpeas every morning for breakfast, and he was wired. You have to watch out. You said the wrong thing to him, and you get a punch in the mouth, and he wouldn't even think twice about it. So there are certain things, you know, physically you could do. I mean, I wouldn't eat a whole bowl of chickpeas in the morning and expect to be celibate. So you'd be like, become like a bull, you know. You jump over the fence or the deck after a woman. So there are some material things. But basically, spiritually, we have to become detached from the material designation of thinking we're this body, we have to have a spiritual designation, which means having our real life not being out here, because we do things out here for Krishna with the body. But Krishna says in the Gita, while the self-realized soul, while he sees the body is doing this, that, he understands he is doing nothing. We have to come to that realization. While the body is sitting up, eating, evacuating, this is Krishna's statement. Then he understands he himself is doing nothing. That means he has to understand who he himself or she herself is. And that means you have to have like an internal life of service going on to Krishna. Absorbed, first of all, absorbed in thinking of Krishna's pastimes. And then when you get more advanced, you actually participate in Krishna's pastimes. In the beginning, it's thinking. I realized that yesterday. Well, every day, actually. But I realized that yesterday I was taking care of my deities, and then I was very fortunate to have this recitation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that I was just given. And it's just like hearing, I was listening to the Adi Leela, hearing about the summary of each of Lord Chaitanya's associates. And I was just like, wow, this is real life. And of course, I still did the thing externally with my body taking care of Govardhan. I mean, that's real life, too. But really, you know, then you're just inside, and then whatever is happening outside is just like some phantasmagoria. You understand? It's like some light show, or some fireworks display. Just like you go 4th of July. We used to go down to in front of the Lincoln, not Lincoln, Washington Monument, where they have fireworks in Washington D.C. And it's really. But it's just like some fireworks. That's not your real life, the fireworks. So in the same way, all this enjoyment from this body, what you eat, your relationship, and so just like the fireworks. Life's but a poor player that struts and frets his time upon the stage and then is heard no more, according to Shakespeare. So it's like that. So, but you have to develop your internal life. There has to be remembrance of Krishna's pastimes, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, of course, or various incarnations' pastimes, Lord Ram's pastimes. You have to become absorbed emotionally, mentally, psychologically absorbed in these things. There has to be some emotional involvement, too. Not that you're just like some big egghead, but you have to really have some feeling for it. Just like the other day, I was watching about this Ramayan. And Lord Ram, you know, sent Sita away, and I got angry. So there's some emotional involvement. So you have to, anyway, so if you have that involvement, emotions, mentally, psychologically, you have a real life outside, and then the real detachment arises. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prajojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Gyanam Yacha Ahoitukam. Okay? So on that note, all of our business is into divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.